Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire.
It's streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app. Presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Allison Keys in Washington. Pop culture legend and singer-songwriter Jimmy Buffett is dead at the age of 76. On social media, a statement says he lived his life like a song till the very last breath. Buffett's Margaritaville became an empire of resorts, restaurants, and of course, frozen drinks. The song was released in 1977 and spent 22 weeks in the Billboard Hot 100, contributing Rolling Stone editor Anthony DeCurtis.
That one song evokes an entire world for his fans. It's a world of genial escapism that he created, where people whose lives were not like that.
President Biden is heading to Florida to take a look at the damage from Hurricane Idalia, but will not be meeting with Governor and Republican presidential candidate Ron DeSantis. DeSantis suggested that might interfere with response efforts. Mr. Biden was asked about that meeting with DeSantis on his way out of Washington within the hour and says he doesn't think the governor will be around.
I don't think he's going to be there. We're going to take care of Florida.
CBS's Bradley Blackburn with details about the president's visit and promises to help people deal with the fallout from the storm.
On Friday, he approved a disaster declaration, providing federal funds to help areas rebuild.
Hello.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis was touring aftermath when he took a call from the president.
We're in Horseshoe Beach now. It's pretty rough here, and there's a lot of folks putting stuff together.
The damage stretches into Georgia, where Idalia lingered over the state.
It's a busy Labor Day travel weekend. Jesse Ashlock at Conde Nast Traveler.
AAA expects the roads to be packed, and there is a possibility that we'll exceed pre-pandemic levels for air travel. And we are exceeding pre-pandemic levels for spending because everything costs more right now.
In southern China, people are assessing the damage after a super typhoon. The BBC's Martin Yip.
It made the landfall in the early hours of Saturday morning, but then is now skirting again along the coast of western Guangdong province. It's expected to make another landfall when it reaches an area called the Lazhou Peninsula. But yet, Saudi has been weakening hour after hour. It's now just a typhoon rather than a super typhoon.
The number of people missing from those deadly wildfires in Maui now stands at 385, down just three from a week ago. Police and the FBI say 245 from an earlier list have been found, but about the same number of new names were added. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The governor of Utah wants people to learn how to disagree. Republican Spencer Cox is leading a campaign called Disagree Better. It encourages more positive approaches to politics and social discourse. Here's Alex Gonzalez.
The day after the first Republican presidential debate, Cox took to X and shared a video where he said he has found listening to understand as opposed to listening to debate is a powerful tool.
Healthy disagreement is about staying true to who we are, to the principles that we believe in, but also not attacking the person who disagrees with us.
Cox acknowledges that the United States is deeply divided and a majority of Americans are tired of the division and hyperpartisanship. According to the Pew Research Center, partisanship continues to be the dividing line in the American public's political attitudes, far surpassing other markers such as age, race, and ethnicity. Cox says the nation was created with 50 states, of which he calls laboratories of democracy. He says each state is uniquely positioned to work together and learn from one another. The Disagree Better initiative has a list of recommended strategies and tools for state and local leaders to implement in an effort to ease tensions.
Because what happens is when we're curious, when we're really trying to understand where the other person is coming from, they're much more likely to give us that same opportunity and to listen to us.
Cox says it's an important message with the 2024 presidential primaries in full effect. A recent poll found that more Americans viewed neither President Joe Biden, the likely Democratic nomination, nor former President Donald Trump the clear frontrunner for the Republican Party in a favorable light than those who saw either of them favorably. I'm Alex Gonzalez. Find our HRS indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
And you're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Powell.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Folks, welcome to the Cripescast. I'm your host, Charlie Behrens, and this is the podcast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest. We are brought to you by Jolly Good Soda. Hey, everybody. Special episode of the Cripescast today. Dun, dun, dun. Because you asked for it, we are doing a Charlie Behrens Ask Me Anything. By popular demand, what do? We did this one other time, right, Kelly?
Like episode 40, and now it's like episode 160 something or other.
Kelly Maraca, ladies and gentlemen, executive producer of the Cripescast. So we've had a few requests for this over the year or whatever, and typically I don't want to do them because I'm guarded.
Stubborn,
something.
Guarded. Yeah.
But as it turns out, we had a guest cancel, so here we are.
No, the main reason is because your brother's podcast keeps getting pushed back, which people keep asking about as well.
It's getting pushed
back. They're very
back,
excited.
And we're not,
we're just building up anticipation.
It's been done. It's in the tank. But we'll explain the reason for the delay
maybe if we want to.
Maybe, yeah. But it's nothing bad. It's actually very good.
Yes. So that'll be coming soon. And but before we get into the questions,
yes,
let's talk about what's going on at Crepes Inc., which tour starts.
So the tour starts this weekend in Westby. We've got a ton of fun shows on this tour, including Las Vegas, ladies and gents. But right after Vegas, we go to Wichita, Kansas City, Springfield, Evansville. It's going to be fun. Check it out. We've got them listed at cripescast.com, and we're probably coming to a state near you. We're going across the country. So there
you
go.
Yeah, you got stuff all across the Midwest and across the country. People have been messaging in about all the places we're going to go. So if you have any suggestions, send them our way.
Yeah. Let us know if there's a city that is not on our list that we should go to.
Yeah. Are you excited to get back out on the road?
Yeah, I am. That pregnant pause was because I was drinking some water out of this kosher dill pickle spears jar.
Oh, I like how it says Best Buy 627, so that water's bad.
Actually, it's new water, old jar.
I know.
New water, old jar. That's a good, that'd be a good, it'd be a terrible name for a band.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, we have so many cups that we have down there, but I love that you take the pickle jar.
Pickle jars make the best cups. They do because they're wide. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to tip a pickle jar.
Mm.
From a water standpoint, some water glasses are too thin. They have too thin of a base. A pickle jar is a nice, sturdy situation.
It's nice and low.
I mean, and it feels good in the hand,
mm-hmm.
You know?
It reminds me of the advice my dad would give me when I would play basketball. When I would box out, he's like, get low and wide. Nobody can tip you over.
That's what a pickle jar is doing. A pickle jar is boxing out all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
Speaking of boxing out, go to patreon.com/CharlieBehrens to see me absolutely wipe the floor with Charlie in basketball.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's another Patreon plug. But anyway.
She barely won.
Okay. I think I gave you points.
You did, but we miscounted the points. So you didn't need to give me points. I had earned those.
Okay. Anyway, let's get to the fan questions.
Okay, fan questions.
Okay, so from Almquist 390, if you could be any bird, which would you be?
Oh, that's a great question. I think I would be a red-breasted merganser. Now, red-breasted merganser is one of my favorite birds. Okay, I'll tell you that much. They are a seasonal duck variety. They got a cool mohawk. They've got a great, very fun courtship dance. You know,
what is it? You want to give us a taste?
Well, I think basically what happens, and I think I've demonstrated this before on various things, but you have one female. And then you have five males, and the five males are constantly doing this dance to try and impress
show us
her.
The dance.
The dance is beak up, ass up. That's the way they
feel
like
free
to
get up and show the
do it.
Feel free.
I'm not gonna. It's like. I mean, and you got to find the actual footage because the way I just did wasn't very graceful or beautiful.
You
the way
get
they do
any
it,
female mergansers with that one.
But then the female, and this is what I like about the mergansers, the female chooses the male, and here's how she chooses the male. She takes that razor sharp beak, and she jabs him right in the side and says, "Let's do this thing, bitch." You know,
nature's bumble.
it is
yeah,
absolutely.
She gets to choose.
Yeah, it's nature's bumble with the mergansers. So that would definitely be one bird. The other thing I like about the mergansers is I like waterfowl because and I have thought about which bird I'm going to come back to in this next life. I feel like I was a bird in a previous life too. Anyway, what I like about waterfowl is they get to experience both the sky and the sea, you know. And I think, yeah, I mean, they just have literally the best of both worlds. It is another world under there. Now, they do have dangers from both above and below.
Such as?
Well, you know, a muskie, I could see having little qualms about going after a baby red-breasted merganser. You know, muskrats, you know.
Muskrats ain't nothing.
Wolves.
I've killed a muskrat.
Yeah, well, you're not a bird.
Okay.
You know? Right. So you got to think about that. Muskrats have...
My beagle killed a muskrat.
Yeah. A beagle is also not a bird. They have these sharp teeth. You know, a bird is a little bit... It's low on the defenses side. Mm. Its defenses are flight. You know, a bird's not going to fight much. But a merganser, mergansers
are... You just said the sharp beak.
Like they do have a sharp beak that's more for fishing. You know, mergansers are more lovers. They're not fighters.
Is that why you resonate with...
I think so. I know how to fight. You know, not well, but I know how to fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I basically know enough to hurt the person who's trying to hurt me. And make them maybe regret not choosing me. Like maybe they should have chosen someone else. They're still going to win probably if they know how to fight like somewhat good.
Who would win in a fight, you or a merganser?
I would never fight a merganser.
Who would win in a fight, you or a flock of 10 mergansers?
Well, they would just fly away together.
But like if they were attacking you?
I would welcome an attack from 10 mergansers. I feel as though like they would initiate me into their thing and then I would become merganser man. Red-breasted merganser man. It would just be me with two red breasts, you know?
All right. You ready for your next question?
Yes, I am.
Okay. From John James. How do I survive my first Wisconsin winter? I'm from Southern California.
Oh, no. Southern California come up to Wisconsin for the first time? Well... I would say now is actually a good time to go buy a big coat. You need a big coat. And you might be able to get a good price on one because, you know, they're not as in demand. So I would say right now, go find yourself. And I would say the biggest coat you find, get a bigger one. I know it's an El Nino year. It may possibly be a warmer winter, but also weirder things have happened. And so I would get yourself a nice big coat. And then really, I think the next part is driving and,
what do you keep in your car for like in the event that you've spent out?
Yeah. So that's a good point. I think come November, Snow comes a little later, but come November, December, what you want to do is get yourself some salt for the salt deal in the basement, you know, the airsoft or the water softener. Mm-hmm. Get yourself some water softener salt or bags of sand. Put them in your trunk or the bed of your pickup truck. Mm-hmm. It'll kind of weigh it down, give you some extra traction. Also, I would get a shovel in the back of your truck. I would get an ice scraper. Get two ice scrapers. You know, one for the snow. They break off, and sometimes you hit a deer, and you know you really want to get in the grill. You know, and you know sometimes that deer's quite not yet a goner, so you got to use. I'm kidding. Do not do that. I would get all those things in your and then yeah, you probably want to toss a blanket in there just in case you get stuck and you know you're in the middle of something. Keep warm. I think that so start driving. And if he's in Southern California now, he can actually start practicing driving on the snow by going to the beach and driving on the sand. Mm. It's a little different, but if you get like sort of like a sandy road by the beach, you know, mm-hmm. that has some similarities to snow, believe it or not. It's basically a loss of traction. And then also when you're driving on sand, that's kind of like thick snow. So it's kind of, you got to get on there and get mm-hmm. the tires moving and everything. And then when you get stuck in the sand, because you probably will, then you can practice getting yourself some boards, putting them under your tires, and you can get yourself free in there. Now, that's only if he's got a lot of time on his hands. You know, I usually wouldn't recommend someone intentionally getting stuck in the deal there. But yeah, that's
sounds a like couple. A lot of good advice. Mm-hmm.
The other thing he's got to start preparing for is how long the goodbyes are. They take forever, and how to get out of the Midwest goodbye. You know, we've gone into extensive discussion of that in the stand-up special and mm-hmm. various videos. So that's good. But the bottom line is just start saying goodbye 4 hours before you want to leave.
And to go off of the coat thing, you want to also make sure that your insides are warm as well. So probably wouldn't be bad to stock up your booze.
Yeah, he's going to just have to start acquiring a taste for brandy. Yeah. You know, and some people, they have a hard time with that. Brandy is, some would say, an acquired taste. I find it to be great. But start, you know, asking for brandy old fashions. Maybe just start off with a bourbon old fashioned, if that's like what he's accustomed to, and then slowly graduate into the brandy. And then mm-hmm. soon enough, his blood will like thicken, you know, kind of like a dog being left out in the winter. You know, they build up their winter coat.
It's like hibernation.
Yeah, he'll build up his Wisconsin coat.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's sweet. Okay, so Chris Van Wagner, what is the hardest thing you ever had to tell a priest in confession when you were a kid?
What was the hardest thing I had to tell a priest in confession when I was a kid? Oh man, I don't know. I lied.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I ever.
Then what was your go-to to like kind of?
It's not confess. That I. It's not that I lied, but I was like, how am I supposed to remember everything I did wrong? You know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I lied. I don't know. I always said swearing. I said I lied to my parents. I said, you know, I wasn't nice to my brothers or sisters. Da, 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 da. That was it. And I mean, that's really it. I don't think I even did that much. Well, I did confess. Yeah, never mind. I used to, outside the Adoration Chapel at this church I went to, me and my buddy, whatever it was about Adoration, which is kind of this little chapel that someone's always praying in 24 hours a day or whatever, but they smoke a lot of cigarettes and they put them out like outside the church. Me and my buddy, we go pick up some of them cigarettes with a little bit of game left to play. And we took them out to the woods and finished them.
And you admitted that during confession?
Yeah. Yeah, I sure did. He can't tell anyone. He's a priest.
And
you know?
What did he say? What was your like?
He said, it's not good for you. I was like, I know, you know, but.
Did you keep doing it?
Yeah. Glad. I don't think.
Glad you're learning from it. I don't think you're grasping the concept of confession.
Well, it takes a while. You know, that was when I was young. That was when I was fourth grade, maybe something like that.
Wow. That early you were doing that?
Doing what?
Smoking?
Well, it was only like little parts of cigarettes. You know, we didn't start taking that tobacco and rolling it into a new cigarette until much later on.
Like fifth grade, sixth grade.
Something like that. no, you just do stupid things as a kid. I never really got into smoking much, but you just try things.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I'm trying to think of what I did as a kid, but I was kind of an angel, so.
Yeah, you give me that goody-two-shoes vibe.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
What was your, like, toy of choice as a kid?
Toy of choice, I had many. I had a dinosaur collection, little fake plastic dinosaurs. I had a gemstone collection. I was into rocks before all these hippie gals were into them. And then what else did I have? I made a lot of my toys. I had a belt and a Pringles can, and I cut holes in the Pringles can, made it like a sheath, you know, for my sword. Knocked out the bottom of that. I was an accessory guy, you know. but I like knives, and I liked, I like that kind of stuff. But beyond that, toy dinosaurs, I wanted to be an archaeologist because I saw Jurassic Park, and I thought those paleontologists were archaeologists.
Yeah.
So for a while, I wanted to be an archaeologist, but really, what I wanted to be was a paleontologist. I wanted to look at dinosaurs. I wanted to find a cool dinosaur shark tooth. You know.
Okay.
I forget the name of that dinosaur. I'm going to look it up. I think it's a dinosaur shark. Ichthyosaur? No, that's the alligator.
All of this is just like...
People are curious.
Over my head. No. I'm not saying it's not interesting. It's just over my head.
No. You can latch onto that. It was the Cretoxythrina. No. Okay. Stacanthus edsted. None of these names I know. Helicoprion. Megalodon.
I know the name.
That's a T-Rex. Anyways, a prehistoric shark. I want one of their teeth.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Maureen Levine, sorry if I say your name wrong. She asks, I've been meaning to ask you for some time. Do futzing and putzing around mean the same thing? And if not, would you please explain the difference and use an example of each?
Yeah, futzing and putzing. You know, really what futzing is a mix of and putzing. So it's like quit futzing around, you know?
So it's an escalated version of putzing.
Yeah, and putz, I believe, comes from, it's a Jewish term. And we'd have to ask my buddy Andy Rafi.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, like you're a putz, like a schmuck. Yep. I think, and perhaps I'm wrong about that, but I think Rafi and I were, well, I was having a beer. He doesn't drink much, but or at all. And he was telling me about it after a show one time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have to ask him and get back to the fans on that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Cam 111294 says, we all love that you do such a great job making everyone aware in a super funny way of all the things everyone loves about Wisconsin. But what are the top five things you love personally about growing up here and living here?
Oh, I think that's a good question. I really love, first of all, the outdoors element of it, being outside. I think that's sort of the best connection, you know, that we get with... you know, whatever God you believe in, it made all the rest of it, you know? So I think that, I would say definitely outdoors, you know, learning how to fish and getting in that habit, as a kid, you know, I'm super thankful for that. I think that has a lot to do with my family and then, you know, Wisconsin having access to all these lakes. I think the other thing would be just that idea of things not ever being perfect. You know, there's so much, I grew up with, you know, obviously a lot of siblings and, you know, from a family that didn't really, value, perfection, you know, cause you know, when you got a bunch of kids, everything's broken or something wrong or whatever, but you can still make do, you can still make it work. And we didn't have, you know, my dad came from like a pretty blue collar background, and we kind of grew up with that sort of mentality of like, you know, if it's broken, fix it kind of a thing, or learn to fix it. And just because you don't have the best thing, you know, it doesn't mean anything. Like things don't, like I remember one time I was growing up and I was like, oh dad, so-and-so's got a good car. Isn't that cool? He goes, you know, he goes, car's a stupid thing to think it, something like that. He's like, or I was like, dad, if you had the money, would you buy that? He's like, I do have the money. I think it's dumb, you know, or some, I forget what he said,
yeah.
But basically it was like, and then that sort of, tricked the thing in my brain where I think I you know, you could have, I think some people are, you know, certainly, friends of mine in, Los Angeles say, I think maybe grew up with a more, focus on material items, and that those say something about you. Mm-hmm. And I think the thing about maybe Wisconsin or maybe Midwest, my family, yeah. Midwest, is that what there's this line in Fight Club, you're not your Dockers, you know? So, and I think that there's something about that, that I appreciate about the Midwest, is you can wear whatever to whatever and be fine.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not too precious, or it's like material items, maybe. I feel like there's still materialistic people in the Midwest.
Oh, there's, yeah,
but everywhere. I would say, like, I get what you're saying, the material value of things. I remember, like, saying that to my mom, too, growing up, just being like, oh, this person's, like, there's, like, the rich neighborhood.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh, their house is so nice. And my mom's just like, do you like going out on the boat? Do you like going on X amount of trips a year? She's like, it's all about what you want to do. And she's like, you just, like, just because you look at someone's house in a specific neighborhood, she's like, it doesn't necessarily mean anything. And she's like, they could do that, but like, look at what they're doing day in and day out. What are they deciding to spend their money on? What are they valuing? And she's like, I'd rather spend money on doing things with my family and XYZ, kind of similar to what your dad was doing.
Yeah. Yeah. You yeah. know? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and all those things always get old, you know, even when your friends buy like, a nice big house or something. Mm-hmm. Well, in 5 years, everything in that house is all of a sudden outdated. So now you got it. Now you got yourself a big problem on your hands.
Yeah.
That's why I like, you know,
super outdated houses that will come back into style.
That's it. You gotta get them on the, you know, and I tell everyone that kitchen is made of recycled, ocean trash, you know, and it ups the value of my kitchen, you know, cause it is technically like, if I were to throw all that stuff out, most likely a lot of that stuff would end up in the ocean.
Yeah.
Just statistically speaking. So I'm just cutting out the middleman.
You have an upcycled kitchen.
I have an upcycled kitchen made of recycled ocean trash. I'm just I'm cutting out the point of where it has to go in the ocean in order to be recycled ocean trash. You know?
Look at you. You're so on the forefront of.
Yeah, it's just how you reframe things.
Gordy Messersmith asks, do you really love the Packers?
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
How are you feeling about this year?
Great.
And you used to what? Sorry, I cut you off.
I used to cry when they lost when I was a kid. Like, that's so ingrained in me, very deep, very, very deep.
Nice.
Like, if they lost, I would go outside and like, I would find my tree and go cry under it.
I wish we had like footage of that. That'd be amazing. Oh my God,
I'm so happy there weren't cameras really around when I was a kid since I'm old. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Okay, so those are the questions that I got on Instagram. I also have some supporter questions that we didn't answer last week.
Yeah, let's do some of those.
Okay, Ryan Bolan asks, when you tour outside of the Midwest, where do you find the largest turnout for Wisconsin natives? Like, where's a pocket that you're surprised that, like, you've...
Yeah, well, the first time we toured out of the Midwest was Nashville, because I was Googling my name, as you do, folks, and one of the first things that came up was Nashville. So I was like, oh, I wonder if people think I'm playing there or whatever. And then we booked a show and that went. But I think Nashville's got a great pocket of Midwest people. Also, Florida, I don't think, you know, Florida and Arizona people get like, okay, snowbirds. But Nashville has a nice pocket of them. Alaska also. A lot of Midwesterners out there. A lot of Wisconsinites specifically.
Nice.
Yeah.
Tink Kubant asks, when you were on tour last year, what was your favorite city and why?
Oh, boy. God, that's a really interesting question. I'm trying to think back. You know, we had a lot of fun in Dubuque. We kind of went out after that show and had a good time. And, I remember Dubuque being fun for whatever reason. It's popping into my head. So many of the shows were fun though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like you like to go... Because like in Bemidji, you went and did a hike.
Yeah, Bemidji, I went and I did, I hiked the National. That was another cool one, Bemidji. I hadn't been up there. I went up there in winter. It was beautiful. It had just snowed out and did that state park thing. And, you know, found a perch in the middle of the path that this eagle had dropped, you know, like in the perch still warm, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it was a fresh one, probably mm-hmm. scared that eagle. You know, and so I looked at it and I left it there. I knew that eagle would be back. Yeah. But anyways, yeah, I don't know. There's so many cool spots. It's tough to pick one.
Nice. Neo_wizard says, what's your favorite vacation spot?
My favorite vacation spot, I will go with Land O'Lakes, Wisconsin. It's kind of where my family goes. It's right up by the UP on the border. We tend to go there every year. This was the first year that we hadn't gone there, though, ever since I can remember. And like, it's kind of like summer's ending and I'm almost in denial about it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, isn't that crazy?
Why didn't you guys go?
It was just too freaking complicated. The place that we usually rent, they got bought up. And, you know, no one in my family's got the dough for, you know, our own spot. And it's just a pain in the ass to house everyone, yeah. You know? So, but I think we figure out, next year, everyone's getting like a little spot somewhere, you know, and we'll go from there. But, you know, it's kind of this weird thing. Like, I think with summer, when kids are going back to school and they're like, summer's over. I'm like, summer's not over. It's only over if you're in school. I got more summer left. And now that it's almost Labor Day and people are like, oh, no, summer's over. I'm like, nah. I got over that weeks ago when everyone went to school. Mm. You know, it's kind of like I want to avoid the emotional realization that summer's over.
Yeah. When is summer really over for you? Do you feel like?
When did it start?
Technically, it starts June 21st.
I mean, where does the time go?
I know.
Time is like a tennis ball under the couch. Where did it all go? That's me quoting a favorite line from a video that got no love. Yeah. Why do you think that video didn't get love? Therapist interviews dog.
Literally, I don't know, because my whole family that has dogs like loved it.
Yeah, I liked it too. I only heard good comments, but it didn't quite get the traction. Yeah, that know. Happens sometimes with videos.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy that this weekend is Labor Day. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's wild. Time just flies when you're having fun.
Just flies.
You're not having fun.
No, I'm having a good time.
Okay. Katie JEDIPM1. JEDIPM?
Sure.
What's the best time of year for birding?
Oh, God, that's a great question. I honestly think the best time is in spring. Not just birds and the bees, that stuff, but there's no leaves on the trees. It's just little buds. And that allows you to see through the branches. Mm. And that allows you to see a lot of birds. Also, you've got a lot of migratory birds coming. Those red-breasted mergansers I mentioned before, they're around during the spring. And I just want to be a merganser man, you know? Like,
when did this podcast become a birding?
People love podcast. Birding, man. And if you don't love birding, get into it just a little bit. Just a little bit. But no, spring is a very, very good time because you get new birds coming out, emerging, and also migratory patterns. You see some very unique birds, and your line of sight is very good given the lack of leaves.
Nice.
Yeah.
Marin 11 asks, I'm an only child here. What's your best childhood story?
My best childhood story, we were at the park in Fond du Lac fishing, and I was sitting there with a fishing pole, and I was cold. It was freezing, and I wanted to go in the car, but I didn't want to ask because I wanted to be like, you know,
tough,
yeah. And I was just sitting there just like jigging a pole, and I was like almost, my dad was fishing with my grandpa, was fishing with everyone, and I was like, I hate fishing, you know, and I felt like just as I was about to give up on fishing and never want to go again, boom. Hang on. Before I say boom, my dad looked over at me. He said, Charlie, what are you doing? I said, I'm just fishing. And he's like, you're never going to catch a fish that way. And I, because it's true, I was literally just dropped my pole and I was just like, ugh, you know, and just kind of just jigging it, just kicking my pole or whatever. And then I said, no, I'm going to do it. You know, I wanted to pretend like I wasn't just doing that because I was bored, you know?
It's your new method.
Yeah, or whatever. Anyway, long story short.
Boom.
As I was about to give up on fishing for life. Boom. I got one. Yep.
Yeah.
Pulled it up. Pickerel. First pickerel I ever caught.
What is that?
It's like a northern pike, but a tad different. Okay. It's got a different name, but I think it's honestly, it's got a longer nose, I think.
Cool.
I actually don't know the difference between the, which I should.
Isn't that how fishing works, where it's like you're about to give up and then you get to something? That and gambling. You know, it's like you're about to give up and then you finally hit gold and then it's another 10,000 casts before you get.
It's how a lot of things work in life. You know, it's like it's always darkest before dawn. Or whatever, you know, and you just got to hang in there a little bit longer, you know, and then bang, you
bang,
get
boom,
one
pop. You're very like onomatopoeia today.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the word for like when you.
I don't know, but right? I like the sound of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great story. Braden page 38 asks if you could live anywhere else, where would it be? We might have answered this already, but I don't remember.
Yeah, that's a good question. I like you know, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
I'm pretty sure that's what you answered before.
Is
I
it?
Feel like, but yeah.
Yeah, I like it up there.
Don't want to go anywhere else outside the Midwest.
I mean, I can go anywhere I want.
Yeah, you're so right.
I've lived other places. From a climate change perspective, the Midwest is one of the best places you can go.
Yeah.
I mean, really, you know, a lot of access to fresh water, you know, in terms of the topography, you know, we got a little bit of the Driftless has some of them hills, which it's not a straight flat shot that the Tornado Alley. Now you still get tornadoes, but it's not a, you know.
Why did that scare? That sound effect really like scared.
Yeah, I noticed you got startled there.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that was a little tornado coming off.
Yeah,
my
I don't
fingertips.
Know why. I really and we were like talking. I don't know why that scared me.
Yeah, you should talk to a therapist about that one.
I will. Buddy Elena says, "What should I do if my friend says bagel instead of bagel, or how do you say it, and what should you do if they say it incorrectly?"
You should just give them a bagel.
You call it bagel?
Bagel.
Bagel?
Bagel?
What do you call it?
I don't know. Now I'm thinking about bagel.
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 So what if they say bagel?
Well, I know what you're talking about.
What would you do if your friend says, hey, give me a bagel?
I'd give him bagel.
You don't care. Whatever anybody calls it, you're not like prejudiced against the pronunciation of YA.
No, I don't think about it much.
Okay.
I don't think about it much. You know, in all honesty, I don't. Character wise, even that, I don't know. It's just a goofy thing. Yeah. Some people say bagel. Some people say bagel. I don't say bagel.
No, you say bagel.
Bagel.
Like a bag of bags.
Bagel. Win a bagel.
It's like whenever you say a word so many times that it loses its meaning. Bagel, 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 yeah. Bagel.
It's a goofy thing.
Katie Dioli asks what your favorite summer activity is, but I think we should go through all of the different seasons and you just name one of each season that's your favorite thing to do.
Okay.
So what's your favorite summer activity?
Spring, bird watching.
So I said, what's your favorite summer activity? Or fine, you can start with six. What's your favorite spring activity?
Bird watching.
Summer.
Fishing.
Fall.
Fishing.
Winter.
Ice fishing.
You like fishing that much?
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. We'll be right back. We're going to an ad break.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Billionaire Jimmy Buffett of Margaritaville fame is dead at the age of 76. Social media posts say he died peacefully surrounded by family and friends. Pop culture professor Robert Thompson at Syracuse.
Margaritaville has transcended being just a song. Margaritaville became the anthem of an entire lifestyle, a state of mind.
President Biden has landed in Florida to survey the damage from Hurricane Idalia, but a meeting with Governor and Republican presidential candidate Ron DeSantis is not on the agenda.
I don't think he's going to be there. We're going to take care of Florida.
That escaped convicted murderer in Chester County has been spotted in a residential area near the prison.
Do not approach him. Instead, call 911. Again, police there in Chester County are urging you to stay in your home and lock your doors and your car.
KYW-TV's Yuki Washington, CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keyes.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If I could be you.
And you could be me. For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
When you think about early labor unions, do you think of Wisconsin? You should. The state's first labor union formed in Milwaukee in 1847 when the bricklayers organized, then the Carpenters Union in 1848. The National Labor Union didn't even form until 1866. A State Historical Society report shows Wisconsin's union members also pushed for workers' compensation and unemployment insurance legislation, becoming a model for other states. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr. Wisconsin traditions have been built for years around the Badgers, game day, and the mascot. But lead miners are the original Badgers in the state, not the animal or the mascot. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like Badgers by digging tunnels into the hillsides to stay warm and sleep where they worked. It led to the reason why today you really can't think of Wisconsin without thinking Badgers. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap.
Folks, if you're just listening, I'm Charlie Behrens, and this is the Cripes Cast on Civic Media.
Okay, I have other questions that I've come up with because we're through the fan questions.
Yeah, let's okay. Start.
So, friend Mary Kill instead of FMK, or FMK in the nice way. Friend Mary Kill, ranch, beer, and brats.
Don't make me do this.
Why?
Don't make me do it.
Okay.
Don't make me choose.
Okay. The next one.
Why? How could you do that? How could you?
They only get harder. I'm like,
how could you make me? All right. No, I mean, if I can't do it.
Friend Mary Kill.
Kind of upset you would even ask.
You have to choose.
No, I don't.
Okay. Do you want to do round two?
No. Not if it's harder than that.
What is round two?
Marry, kill.
I don't know how round two could get harder than
biking,
that.
Birding, and comedy.
I can't do that either. Well, okay. What would I kill? I'd probably kill biking. As much as that would suck, but I feel like I can't do that forever. Birding. I would marry, and then comedy. No, birding, I would friend comedy. I would marry. I'm already married to comedy as it is.
Okay. The round three. Peaky Blinders, Sopranos, The Big Lebowski.
Kill Peaky Blinders, even though it's great, but Sopranos is the OG, married to it. That's the only series I've ever watched twice in my life. And then Friend, The Big Lebowski. That's just a childhood movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought those were going to be harder.
Yeah.
The Ranch Beer Brats really...
Ranch Beer Brats, I just...
You shook your boots?
Got me shook.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was a good one. And
I didn't want to kill Ranch. I probably would have killed Ranch.
You heard it here first. Charlie Barron's Man of the Midwest kills Ranch.
Yeah. Well, when you put it next to beer and brats, yeah. And
then what would you... Yeah.
I would marry beer and friend.
Friend brats.
It's kind of, it loses its effect when you don't have the actual.
Let's do fornicate.
Fornicate. You know what? We've already played this game.
Okay. What's a secret skill that you have that nobody knows, really knows about you?
I know how to roll pretzels, big pretzels.
Okay.
Don't say K like that's not a skill. That's an absolute skill.
I feel like people know that about you.
Do they?
Maybe it's just because
I should do a video about rolling pretzels.
You should, you know what you should do?
A cooking show.
Go back to Mayfair.
Take an application out?
No, and work there for a day.
That's what I was saying.
You wouldn't even take an application out. We could like figure out a way to be like, Charlie used to work here. Would you mind if he rolled pretzels for an hour?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was talking, actually, one of the first shows that I was thinking about when I, or that I pitched, one of the first shows I pitched back when I was doing that, was his show First Jobs.
Yep.
Where, have I told you about this before?
But yeah. Keep going, yeah.
Well, it's where it's...
I think it's a great idea.
You take a celebrity and they go work their first job. And sort of hidden camera and you see if people notice and whatever. You just have fun with people.
Yeah.
Chaos ensues.
That's funny.
Like, I forget where Snoop Dogg was the example I used. I forget where his first job was, but it was like some... I don't know. But anyway, it's everyone had a first job.
Yeah, what if you went back and like picked dandelions?
For Shirley Grotti.
Yeah.
She's not with us anymore. Okay. Somewhere though.
Sorry.
No, but that house is still there and it probably still got dandelions.
If you could have dinner with one person dead or alive, who would it be?
I think it would be my great grandpa, Ray.
Why?
Huh?
Why?
Because it'd be cool to like talk about. You know, what life was like back then.
Yeah.
You know, and just like, you know, it'd be cool to
like Grandpa Bob's dad.
Yeah.
Cool.
It'd be cool to have dinner with him, but for just to him to be just some guy at the bar and me to be just some other guy, you know?
Okay.
Because you want you, it would be cool to see, you know, it, I don't know. It's just like a time capsule thing, you know? I mean, because the other thing you think about, like, let's say it would be like having dinner with, you know, like Richard Pryor or something. He doesn't want to talk to me, you know?
You never know.
No, yeah, I know. Yeah.
He'd be stealing his fries even though you order a salad. Well,
he probably won't be into it. He probably won't be into that. Yeah, exactly. You know?
Yeah.
And then it's just awkward, you know?
Yeah.
And I got nothing to really mention that's going to add to that conversation. Yeah. It's all got to be about me.
Yeah.
So
mine would be Jesus, but to each their own.
I'll talk to Jesus one day. We'll get lunch when this thing's all said and done. Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to burn my other one on Jesus.
You're so right.
Yeah.
What is the best piece of advice you've received and wish to share with everyone?
Best piece of advice I've ever received.
Could be about work, could be about life, could be about family, could be whatever.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I think just I used to work for this guy. I don't know if this is the best piece, but this is a piece of advice that's coming to mind. There have been several things. Like my dad at one point said, every day say a prayer. God help me be a little bit better today than I was yesterday, you know? And, you know, where that's attainable, you know, it's not like I need all these freaking things answered in my life or whatever, you know, or this other, I used to work for in this, violin shop as like a shop hand and,
what?
Yeah. I used to work in a violin shop doing woodwork, like the cleaning stuff, doing like,
that's wild.
Really?
I did not know that about you.
I had 1,000 jobs. I was just one of them. But I would, you know, do minor construction things and like do some sweeping. Okay. I would do some like woodwork and like clean certain wood. And
okay. So you weren't like putting the strings on and making violins.
No, I did some guitar stuff, but that's a lot easier than violins.
That's so interesting.
But anyway, the guy who ran the shop, Steve Haas, was a very good friend of mine. He passed away since, but he always said that it's all about the process. And when you're making he was a bow maker, and when you're making a violin bow, it's the curvature of the bow is very important. There's many different parts, many different elements. It takes a lot of time, and it all starts with a straight edge. You know, it starts with like a 90 degree angle. You know, or a 90, a curve. Yeah. You can't have a curve without a 90 degree angle first. So you have to have patience. You can't just go right for the 90 degree angle. And it's about being addicted to the process. If you're just addicted to the curvature of the bow or whatever, and you just go right for that, you're never going to get it. And even if you do, it's going to be structurally unsound. It's not going to have the thing. So I think that's for anybody who's doing anything, who's not where they want to be today. That's not the way your thought process should be. It should be, am I addicted to this process? Do I love doing this thing? And I think the more you invest time figuring out if you love it and figuring out what you love about it and focusing on that, the happier you are going to be, in the process of creating what you love, and the more you won't miss parts of your life because you were too worried about being where you wanted to be. Because when you get to that place you wanted to be, it's not going to feel any different. And then a lot of times it's going to feel worse. So you just got to enjoy, you know, the place that you're at right now, you know. And that's the process. That's the real work. So, yeah. What's the next question?
Holy shit. You've gotten to travel a lot on tour. Where is some place that you wish to go someday? Either play or if you just want to travel somewhere.
Damn, I don't know. Anywhere I haven't been. I don't really care.
Where's work aside, where is some place that you wish to travel someday?
Antarctica, Beirut, Iceland. Morocco, Eritrea, to name a few.
Okay. This is a fun game that I play with my friends. Death Row Meal.
Korea.
Cool.
North Korea.
Okay.
I want to see what's going on in that place.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Death Row Meal. Now, here's what you get to have. You get to have an appetizer, an entree, a side, a dessert, and a drink.
Okay.
Do you want me to start so you have some time?
Go ahead.
Okay. My appetizer is a little bowl of my Nona's meatballs.
Yeah.
2 works, 3.
Nice.
My entree is...
Those are good meatballs, by the way.
They're very good meatballs. My entree is a steak sandwich from this restaurant in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And I think I've told you about it a few times. I don't know if you remember that at all.
You say it again.
It's my favorite. It's like a filet mignon sandwich from, I think they're still in business, Zalo downtown in Minneapolis.
Oh, yeah.
And it's on this, like, I literally have dreams about it best steak sandwich I've ever had. And it has like caramelized onions and this like horseradish. Oh, it's okay. And then side scalloped potatoes or some sort of cheesy potato. Dessert would be cheesecake. And my drink would be an espresso martini.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. I like
okay,
that.
Okay. What's your, you can go through the five things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I would say I'm going to leave it up to the chef.
It's your death row meal and you get to order out because you're going to go to the chair tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'd say some pickles.
For your appetizer?
Yeah. Some pickles, some peanut butter, grilled peanut butter and jelly. I'd do a coffee and I'd do some beer.
So I said appetizer, entree,
yeah,
side, dessert, and drink.
I listed them all. Coffee is dessert.
Coffee is dessert. Drink is beer.
Yeah. Grilled PB&J for the entree. Peanut butter for the thing and pickles. Oh, I forgot cheese. Maybe like some cheese curds for the
side.
Side, yeah. I forgot fish. There should be walleye in there somewhere. I don't like this game.
That's like the wildest answer I've ever heard in my life.
Well, it's a weird question.
Okay.
I don't know what you're gonna expect from me, but definitely peanut butter and grilled peanut butter and jelly.
I went so that you could think about it, and that's what you came up with.
Yeah, that is absolutely what I came up with.
Okay, so this is the hour we like to call Charlie's favorite things.
Okay.
Okay, ready? Rapid fire. And it's just like,
these are a few of my favorite things.
Exactly. Favorite color?
Blue.
Book?
On the Road, Jack Kerouac. Jeez. Actually, Hero with a Thousand Faces.
I knew you were going to say that.
It's a great book, you know, from storytelling. It's wonderful.
Do you want to tell me about the Cosmogonic Cycle or whatever?
Cosmogonic Cycle. Everyone should know about it.
Yep.
It was interesting.
Favorite song?
Favorite song. Oh. What do you want from liquor store? Sorry, you're sick. Ted Hawkins.
Yep. Favorite musical artist?
Ted Hawkins.
Favorite car?
Favorite car. I've always liked the Corvette Stingray. A little Stingray of Corvette. Or the El Camino. Little sedan plus pickup truck. Let's go with that one. The El Camino.
Okay. Favorite fish to catch?
Walleye.
Favorite drink of choice?
So good when you got a walleye on the line. Tell you what. Drink of choice, brandy old fashioned.
Favorite Packers player?
Of all time? It's a very hard question. I'm going to go with Leroy Butler.
Favorite sports team?
Green Bay Packers.
I don't know if it was like if you really were a big baseball fan.
Oh, my gosh. Packers, but yeah. I mean, I love the Brewers. I love the Bucks, but you know, the Packers.
Favorite tailgate game to play?
Testicle toss.
Favorite tailgate food?
Brats.
Favorite order at a supper club?
Double old fashioned sour.
But also food. Like, if you're going to a supper club, you're excited for...
I'm excited for the walleye fish fry.
Okay.
Get the coleslaw. Also the potato pancakes.
Growing up, were you a scooter kid or a bike kid?
I was a bike kid. I used to be a bicycle mechanic. And one time I put pegs on my little bike that I thought was cool. I thought it was cool because it's like a BMX bike. But then everyone made fun of me because it had coaster brakes. And all their bikes didn't because they were... bastards.
Did you ever do the thing where you took like a card and you put it in the back
spokes
yes. So you can make a thing?
Certainly. Okay. Did yes it is. Did you?
Yeah, my brother did, and we also had pegs on this one bike, and it was in the front and the back, and yep. It was like our favorite trick bike.
Yeah.
And then my brother one time left it out on the yard, and because it like he would take he had this phase where he would like put duct tape on everything, or like tape that he would do for like a bat for like baseball.
Yeah.
And so because it looked like crap, he left it out in the front yard too close to the garbage. So the garbage.
Oh, they took away. It. I could see
and
that.
And it was our best bike. It was such a bummer.
That is a bummer. You still think about that bike.
It was a great bike. This is kind of unrelated.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way.
That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.